Welcome to Gospel Pod, a weekly devotional created by the students of United Theological Seminary. For more information about the school and its course offerings, please visit our website at united.edu.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31a. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistant, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The Apostle Paul had to deal with a divided church in Corinth. It was divided, in part, over the gifts of the Spirit. Some people have exalted certain gifts of the Spirit, and in particular, speaking in tongues, over all of the others, such as miracles, prophecy, discernment, and interpretation. By speaking in tongues, Paul means speaking aloud in a divine language that is unintelligible to all except those with the gift of interpretation. Among the Corinthian Christians, those who speak in tongues are said to have a spiritual gift of more value than the others, and implicitly, they occupy a place of higher status within the community of faith. Paul tells the Corinthians that all gifts serve the church in important ways, and that it is wrong to exalt one gift over another. Implicitly, it is also wrong to exalt those who have one gift over those who have another. The source of all these gifts, says Paul, is the Holy Spirit. Paul uses the metaphor of the body to talk about the different kinds of gifts within the church. Just as the body is one and has many members, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized into the one body of Christ, and it is the same Spirit who empowers all of our particular gifts. If everyone had one gift, the church would not function properly, just as if, were the whole body an eye, one could not hear. The different parts of the body have different jobs, and one cannot dispense with another. So it is with the body of Christ. People with one gift need those with another. We were not baptized into dissension, but unity. If anyone should be exalted within the community of faith, it is those with gifts that might be considered less honorable. It is God's way to exalt the people whom the world does not exalt. God's ways are not our ways, at least not before we receive the Holy Spirit. As we read in 1 Corinthians 1:25, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Just as in the ancient church, there are a variety of gifts present within our churches today. There are Christians who are gifted preachers and teachers, and still others who have the gift of hospitality. Some people can contribute in considerable ways to the financial life of the church, while for others, the more abundant resource is their time. There are those today who have been given gifts of prophecy, others who speak in tongues, and others who have gifts of prudent judgment and discernment. Within the church, some people are gifted evangelists, some are able administrators, and others contribute by making coffee on Sunday mornings or picking up bulletins after the service. Some people excel at missional outreach, while others have a special gift for comfort and caregiving, and yet all drink of the same Spirit. We mustn't forget that it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who makes us who we are as Christians. The Holy Spirit gives us our gifts and forms our character in such a way that we will use our gifts for the work of God's kingdom. There is no Christian character, no true church, no personal or social holiness without the work of the Holy Spirit. It is, as Paul says, the Spirit who activates these gifts and who allots each one individually. Our gifts are not our own. They are products of divine providence. They are examples of unmerited grace. Rather than exalting ourselves, then, seeking place of privilege among one another, let us exalt the Holy Spirit who empowers us to do God's will.